So I imagine everyone here is probably well aware of the three major CDC guidelines that are slowing the spread of the coronavirus. The last time you watched the news, you were probably more than likely reminded of these guidelines, what we are to be doing to stay safe. There's even a lot of commercials on that will remind us of these guidelines. So you may find yourself being more conscious and aware of the things you're doing or need to be doing. Things like avoiding being around others, keeping the distance. This virus scare kind of keeps us on our toes. You know, we don't want to be sick. We don't want to cause anybody else to be sick. And through the news, these guidelines are pretty much pounded into our heads on a daily basis. We've pretty much been conditioned into following these guidelines. But could these practices that we are so mindful of be consuming our thoughts and distracting us from the things we should be most mindful of? And that is the health and well-being of our spiritual lives. You know, this virus has been called the invisible enemy. But as we all know, there's another invisible enemy that in the grand scheme of things is much more dangerous than this virus could ever be. This enemy actually operates in much the same way as a virus, but instead of attacking our respiratory system, it attacks our mind. It attacks us when we are most vulnerable. Let's turn to 1 Peter and chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible tells us who this enemy is. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan, the devil, is this invisible enemy. So are we taking the necessary steps to fight off this enemy? You probably find yourself washing your hands or using hand sanitizer quite a bit these days. I know at work, I'm a lot more conscious when I get up and maybe use a copier or something that somebody else might have touched. First thing in my mind is like, okay, I got to get use some hand sanitizer before I touch anything else. But are we as mindful about being spiritually clean, distancing ourselves from sin and protecting ourselves from evil influences, as we are about having clean hands, social distancing, and wearing a mask? Let's turn to Romans 8. We'll read verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. But is it in the forefront of our minds like it should be? The Bible warns us about being focused on physical things. Too focused on physical things. Romans 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So yes, it's important that we do what we can to protect and promote our physical health. But first and foremost, we want to promote our spiritual health. You don't have to turn, but in Haggai 1 and verse 7, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider your ways. The NIV puts it like this. It says, give careful thought to your ways. Or you could say, be mindful of your ways. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 15. We have to make an effort to actively include God in our lives. Otherwise, the time can slip past without us getting any closer to our goals of growing closer to God. Paul tells us here in Ephesians 5, verse 15, we'll read 15 through 16. To see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The NIV puts it a little differently, maybe a little easier to understand. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We all want to make good use of the time that God has given us. We don't want to use it foolishly, but to be wise. You know, you've probably heard me mention the word mindful a few times already in this message. It's going to be a theme throughout. You know, there are buzzwords around these days like mindfulness, intentionality. And these ideas are certainly helping a lot of people to reevaluate their frantic, thoughtless routines and help them focus on what's important to them. But these concepts are not new. It's just a secularized form of what God revealed to mankind thousands of years ago. It's just crafted for a modern audience that desperately needs help. These principles work far better when we understand and acknowledge God as the source and seek help from Him. But God instructs us through Paul to make the most of every opportunity nearly 2,000 years ago. And He spoke through Haggai more than 500 years before that, saying, consider your ways. That is the essence of mindfulness, being mindful of what He wants of us. And having good spiritual health is of utmost importance. So for this message, we'll look at these guidelines we've been following to keep safe from the virus, but we'll apply them from a spiritual perspective. So the title of this message will be Keeping Safe from the Invisible Enemy. So we clean our hands to avoid contracting and spreading the virus. Even here, we wipe down before services and wipe down after. So how are we to be spiritually clean? Let's turn to Matthew 23 and we'll read verse 25. God wants us to be clean inside. Matthew 23. Let's look at the message that Jesus delivered to the religious instructors of his time. Matthew 23 and verse 25. I'll be reading this from the New Living Translation. So he told them, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. Of course, Christ's focus was on cleaning dishes, but he used this metaphor to illuminate a deeper spiritual issue. The religious leaders he addressed were diligent in observing washings and obligations demanded by their traditions. Yet they completely missed the mark regarding what was truly important. Jesus rebuked them further in verse 26. He says, you blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. He was referring to being spiritually clean. Although Christ addressed those corrupt men, his words actually apply to the spiritual condition of people today. The Pharisees weren't so mindful of keeping their traditions that they neglected what was most important. But why do we need to be clean on the inside? Or need to be cleaned? We are sincerely seeking God's truth, We all want to face some painful scriptural truths about ourselves. For instance, Mark 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Here we see the heart and the mind referred to as one and the same. Jeremiah also wrote in chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Also, as Isaiah, verse 64, verse 6. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. For this is why we need to be cleaned inside. Like a virus, we are infected with sin from Satan's influence. We may not even be aware of the symptoms. As hard as it may be to accept, these passages pertain to what we are really like. And all of us have broken God's laws. Thanks to God, there is excellent good news available, showing how our human circumstance can be corrected, that we can ultimately become God's children in His coming kingdom. You will turn to Ezekiel 36, and we'll read verse 25. Sorry, I had a call coming in here, and I think it was Walter about the air conditioner. Making sure we're still hooked up on the phone hookup. All right. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. And just as soiled kitchen items need to be clean, God desires to spiritually sanitize us. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. But we want to make spiritual progress so we can become increasingly like Jesus Christ. We do this by immersing ourselves in regular study and diligent application of God's Word. Let's turn to John 15 and verse 3. The Bible's insight provides us the continual divine cleansing we need. John 15 and verse 3. Christ speaking, says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I'll read another scripture. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 through 26. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the Word. When we spend time each day studying the Scriptures and practicing their admonitions, we'll be better able to resist temptation that can lead to sin. We'll be less likely to be infected by this invisible enemy. As we know, learning and applying God's Word requires diligent personal effort. Unlike a dishwasher, we can't simply push a button and put our spiritual lives on automatic wash. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 tells us that we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we should use God's help to overthrow sinful habits. So it is inevitable that we will fail at times to obey God. But to help us know when this occurs and know what to do when this occurs, let's look at another dishwashing illustration. You know, when you have a dirty dish, like say you had a fried egg for breakfast with a runny yolk, you want to clean it off as soon as you're done, because if you let it dry there, it's just like glue and almost impossible to get off. But likewise, when we realize we have sinned, we should repent and seek God's forgiveness immediately through prayer. This is essential so that we don't become hardened or indifferent to that sin. Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. David wrote this psalm after Nathan had helped him see where he had sinned regarding Bathsheba and having her husband killed. Psalm 51, verse 1. David wrote, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Acknowledging our sins, we want to be mindful not to commit sins, but ultimately we will. But we want to recognize them when we do. David confronted his sin and hated it, because there is no true repentance without taking responsibility for and hating our sins. David also understood God's character of mercy. God wants to forgive us so that we can have a restored relationship with Him. David didn't give any excuses for why he sinned. He simply asked God to wash him. He didn't want a superficial sprinkling. He wanted his mind and heart scrubbed. Continue on in verse 5 in Psalm 51. It says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." David was concerned with more than just a few changes in behavior. He understood that God wanted truth in the inward parts, in his heart. Let's continue in verse 10. David writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." David asked God to create in him a clean heart. We know the heart refers to the mind, the will, and the center of our emotions. David understood that his outward sins were just a product of his inner self. We want to have a clean heart and to be clean on the inside. Through reading and studying and applying His Word and recognizing our sins and repenting, we are spiritually cleaned. Right? So, since the outbreak, we're more careful out in public. You know, when you're at Walmart or whatever, you're like, you know, "Oh, I'm walking down the wrong direction, and oh, there, here comes somebody up the aisle. What am I going to do?" And then, you know, checking out, and you want to make sure you keep your 6 feet, you know, stay where that marker is. So we are practicing social distancing. Are we as careful about social distancing from or spiritually distancing from sin? We should be distancing ourselves from evil influences. Do we stop to consider our daily diet of internet, television, or radio? How many times are our minds under attack by the philosophies of the day? Do we realize the extent of the powerful influences that movies and music produce on our thinking? Ephesians 2 and verse 2 refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air. Sounds like an airborne virus. But he doesn't infect us through our nose or mouth, but through our eyes and ears, what we read, what we see, what we hear. So are we mindful of what we are allowing in our minds? You know, it's an election year. You've probably heard the word vet, referring to a candidate. Has he been properly vetted? To vet means to appraise, verify, or check for accuracy, the authenticity or validity. Are we vetting what we hear from others around us for its validity or its authenticity? Whether it's from what we hear in person or what we read online? Are we careful who we follow on social media? We're bombarded daily with information, some good, most maybe not so good. So we need to continually be mindful of these things, watching what we allow in our minds, because if we repeatedly expose ourselves to things we shouldn't, we begin to accept these things. Let's turn to Romans chapter 16. We'll read verse 17. You know, the people we associate with can also have a detrimental effect on us. The Bible tells us we should be mindful of the people we associate with. Romans 16, verse 17 through 18. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of the naive. We see this everywhere out there these days. And so that's pretty clear. Keep away from them. Ephesians 5 and verse 7, you can turn there if you want. Paul speaking of those that are disobedient to God. Ephesians 5, verse 7. Says, therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. That everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And it's kind of interesting. You probably heard on the news that UV light, either artificial or from the sun, will kill the coronavirus. And likewise, evil cannot survive in the light of Christ. So let's spiritually distance ourselves from evil influences. Another one of the guidelines is wearing a mask. We're all wearing masks to keep from spreading a disease or from catching it. And it gives us a sense of security when we are out in public. You know, at work, we don't have to wear a mask if we're sitting at our desk, but since they put the mandatory mask wearing in public, you get up away from your desk, you have to put the mask on. You have to just step away from your desk for anything. So there's been I'm usually pretty good at it, but there's been a couple of times that I've taken a couple of steps. And I'm like, uh-oh, I don't have my mask on. Let me get back and grab my mask. So it just felt like something was missing, like maybe I wasn't properly dressed or something. It just didn't seem right. But do we feel like we're missing something if we're not spiritually protected? But we should. Let's turn to Proverbs 4, verse 23. And when we head out, do we grab that spiritual protection we desperately need? This is another thing these times have made us very mindful of, wearing a mask for protection. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." The Common English Bible translation puts it like this. It says, "More than anything, guard your heart, protect your mind, for life flows from it." That sounds pretty important. So we are to be most mindful of spiritual protection we are to put on. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. We'll read verses 10 through 18. How do we protect our hearts and minds? Ephesians 6, probably realize where I'm going with this. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. His Word not only cleans us, but it is the sword of the Spirit for protection." Verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Let's make sure we are mindful to wear the armor of God every day. It's not a physical suit of armor. It's spiritual. When we implement these spiritual pieces of armor, truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, God's word, we can face every day knowing we are protected. So, wouldn't it be nice if you turned on the TV set in the morning, your local news, and instead of reminding you of the CDC guidelines, they remind us of godly guidelines. They remind us to read and apply God's word for spiritual cleaning. They remind us to avoid evil influences, and they remind us to put on the armor of God to protect our spiritual lives. It would be nice, but it's not going to happen in this age. No, that's up to us. But thankfully, we have church to remind us of these things, but it's up to us individually to put them into action. We want to be conditioned in godly guidelines. God is our protector, but we must do our part. We understand that we're not meant to live forever in the flesh. God does protect us according to his will. which means in our best interest. He wants us to make it into his kingdom and be part of his eternal family. He knows how to protect us and how to work in our lives. Turn to Proverbs 2 for the final scripture. God wants us to be in good health and to prosper in this life. And that's good. But that's not all there is to life. And it's true, we have a great future ahead of us. We need to be most focused on that future. What happens in this life cannot be compared to the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Proverbs 2, we'll read verses 1 through 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you.